Have you encountered any gender biases because you're a woman owner? If I had more testosterone, I'd be more competitive with Aaron.
And then
we would be fighting about who has the bigger dick contest.
Whoa. Can you share a personal failure or setback that you've experienced? I was stolen from. There's no BS. You can't trick me anymore. You guys are fucking stealing from me. Literally stealing me blind. Give me my cards back right here. Drop the stuff. Drop it.
Yeah. So, Winnie, how do you find time and energy to stay active and prioritize self-care?
When you're taking care of others so much, I think you get stronger. And that is a form of self-care. So, your life is not about you. That's all.
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
All right, let's go. Whitney.
Yes.
We get to spend time together.
So amazing, right?
Yeah. Thank you for coming and blessing the space.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So we have some questions here.
Yeah. You started reading it ahead of time, and now
okay,
we don't get
so
your reaction.
Let me read this. Have you encountered any gender biases because you're a woman owner or obstacles?
I haven't.
Or obstacles in your journey as a woman business owner. How did you deal with them? So first, the first one is, have you encountered any gender biases because you're a woman owner or obstacles in your journey as a woman business owner? Well, I would say the only obstacle that I feel like has happened is that maybe if I had more testosterone, I would be more competitive with Aaron.
Winnie, I think you have a great amount of testosterone, the perfect mix.
Let me just say. So if I had more testosterone, I'd be more competitive with Aaron. And it would be more like we're the fighting titans, okay?
No, and then
we would be crashing our company because we would be fighting about who has the bigger dick contest.
Whoa. If I was having that contest, I definitely would not be married. That's for sure.
But anyways, no.
That's not what the question's asking.
No, but I don't think that there is any bias. I obviously
really? Nobody's looked at you and said, like, you're a woman and like, maybe just... You're not even somebody to worth taking seriously. They're just staring at your boobs and not even thinking about you.
That has happened for sure. Where sometimes when I've gone to conventions, I have somebody talking to me, but they're going like that, even if I'm covering myself. But that's normal in my whole life. So it's not just because I'm
just males or also females?
No, males.
Does that happen with females too?
No.
No?
Okay. Jeez.
Just checking. But I don't know. But, you know?
But that's happened my whole life. That's not happening now because I'm a business owner.
Okay.
So
you don't feel any bias.
Well, I know that you get a lot of the limelight. That's for sure. And I've chosen to let that happen because, you know, I know you love it. And I'm okay with that. And I don't care. And also, I don't like talking on stage so much.
So so there's no scenario like you're going to get some quotes and you think they're just, oh, this lady... is just whatever. I'm just going to take advantage of her because she's not smart or something. Nothing like that? So no biases.
Oh! So when I've done liquidation deals with some people over the phone, like at the very beginning of the conversation sometimes.
Yeah? Tell me.
I feel like they're thinking I'm naive because I'm a girl. And then as we get more into the conversation, they're like, oh, this chick means business. She's not a pushover. But they find that out pretty easily at the very beginning. But
okay. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's very hard for people. I mean, I'm kind of a very overt person. So I think I'll railroad through.
Yeah, fine. So no biases. It's all good. It's all good.
Who puts that kind of vibe towards me, I'll like smash him.
It's true. It's true. Okay. So then what about.
I'll smash that concept without being. Totally mean, but I'll definitely communicate my ideas. Guys, I would say that you need to do you. You need to believe in yourself and put yourself out there and keep pushing and don't let up. Don't bring your goals lower. Bring them higher. If you find something getting more difficult to achieve, that means you need to double that problem and make it bigger and make that goal even higher if it becomes more unachievable. That's what I would say.
You know the quote? There's this amazing quote by Michelangelo, which we saw actually, who had made all the paintings in the Sistine Chapel, mm-hmm. right in Italy, mm-hmm. in the Vatican. And he said, listen, the problem with people is not that they set goals too high and don't achieve them. It's that they set goals too low and achieve them. And that's, I mean, that's just the advice you're giving. Is like, listen, guys, if you put it low and you get it, then you're done. You're like, oh, I finished. No. Big. Massive. Okay, good.
Yeah, but if you're getting self-doubt also, you can sit down and write your goals and reiterate to yourself, okay, so why am I doing this? What is my real purpose here? And make sure that you're solid on that. Because if you're solid on that, it will become natural just for you to push forward. Because you will want those so bad. Whatever those goals are, they're that it's like you're literally salivating that you want it so bad that nothing can stop you. Even if this thing comes at you and it's like a huge pound of bricks that's trying to throw you in the other direction, you won't even let that stop you. You will ride over those bricks and keep on fucking going. And it all comes down to you having your basic goals down and your purposes of what you're trying to do and what you're going for.
Great. Okay, so the next question from the audience, can you share a personal failure or setback that you've experienced? And how did you bounce back from it?
You can take that one first.
Okay. Personal failure. I'll tell you, you know, I was stolen from. Here, let me tell you something, guys. Who the hell are your friends? You know, in school, there's this like bubble of school. And I grew up in Miami, and the schools, I don't know if they're good or not. I mean, it's where I was, and I'm where I am now, so that seems like that's fine. But I remember I was walking home. I believe I told you this story. I'm walking home, and on the way home, right, it's like maybe 3 miles or something to my house, something like that. On my way home, these three guys come and start walking with me. And they're basically like thugs. They're like gangsters. They're the troublemakers. They're always in trouble. They're always up to something. And I never associated with these guys. And I didn't want to. So I'm walking, and they're like, hey, man, can we walk with you or something? They're starting to talk. I'm like, no, you can't. You can't walk with me. Like, I'm by myself. They're like, okay, well, our house is this way anyway. So I'm like, okay, fine, guys. Like, what am I going to do? Get out of here. I'm going to stop and wait until you guys leave. Like, I don't know how to handle these people. So we're walking, and we're passing by where it's my neighborhood. And it's actually to go in. I walk in through the golf course to go to my house. That's what I normally do. And they're like, oh, this is where we live too. And I go, this is not where these guys live. They're lying. And I would say, like, you guys don't live there. I've been there. No, yeah, we live here. Right there. I said, where? Oh, right there. What am I supposed to do, Whitney? I was. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the worst that can happen with these guys? And they're so deceptive and so cunning that they're like, hey, that house right there. Okay, good. Oh, and then they're like, so what do you like? What do you do? What's this? And getting me to talk. So then I'm talking, and then I'm like, oh, these guys aren't so bad. Right? And I'm like, okay, whatever. They live right there. And I kind of like, well, maybe they do live right there, and I just haven't seen them. Sure. So then we're going down, and they take me all the way. I'm in the second to last house at the end. And they're all the way there. I'm like, well, where's your house? You're like, yeah, it's down there. Oh, and then they're like, oh, we're right here. Shoot. Oh, since we're here already, why don't we go to your house? And I'm like, why would they go to my house? People often ask me, hey, can I sit down with you one-on-one? Let me pick your brain, get whatever info from you on how to sell on Amazon, how to get started. Well, guess what? You can sit one-on-one with me for more than 3 hours on my mini course, aaroncordovas.com/start. And I will sit down with you one-on-one and give you all the info that I think you need to get started on Amazon. With Amazon ads continually increasing in price, what is going to be your competitive edge? At Samurai Seller, we've created a software that helps you take control of your Amazon ads, not just with ad tools, but tools for analytics into your business and your profitability to make sure that you're always increasing in sales and in profit. Try it for an entire month for free on me. SamuraiSeller.com/start and get a free month of the cutting edge Samurai Seller software for Amazon performance. And then it was horrible because I ended up falling for their BS. And here's what happens. We go into my house and now I want to look cool. Now I'm like, oh, I'm in with the cool kids, even though I know they're trouble. And they're so manipulative. So then I'm like, okay, well, how can I impress these guys? And I was like, oh, this is what happened. I literally was like, guys, I have so much porn in my house. My mom my mom has all the channels, and she's like, I don't care. You're like a grown boy. You know, I don't care. My mom was like literally open, just giving me as much porn as was anywhere. All the channels, everything. It wasn't like internet. And so I'm like, look, guys, and I put on this porn, and they're like, oh, my God. And they're laughing and this and joking, whatever. And then this is what they were coming to the house for. Steal my fucking cards. They wanted to steal from me my Yu-Gi-Oh cards, okay?
Yes.
I had a collection of probably worth thousands of dollars. Actually, probably say $3,000 of cards. $4,000, like a lot.
Yeah,
I was a champion in the Yu-Gi-Oh. Pokemon, everything. I mean, I had all this stuff. And then they're like, oh, let me see your cards. And I was like, okay. So I would get out. I got out, like, my cards, and I'm like, here you go.
Did you bring all of your cards out?
Listen, no, I brought like these, I brought like my binders.
Okay.
Okay. And I was like, here's one binder. And then here's where it started getting out of control. The guy got one binder, and then the other two guys got another binder. And I'm like, whoa, guys, this, hold on. Huh? Hey. And then I go, well, look, they're not so bad. They're just looking at my cards, and I'm watching them. But now there's like three guys, and they're all like in different spots, and they're looking at my cards. Right. And I'm going, and I'm like, okay, I guess they're just looking. What's the big deal? And it all, they put it in their favor, and then I'm looking, and after about like 4 or 5 minutes, I look, and they were in the binder, they're flipping it, and they would take out a card and leave it there, and then put it away somewhere. So I was like, I couldn't tell them doing anything, and I'm going back and forth, but they would basically take it out while I'm not looking, and then when I'm looking that way, they would take it away, right? So then I saw like the cards out, and I go, hey! And at that point, I'm like, there's no BS. You can't trick me anymore. You guys are fucking stealing from me, literally stealing me blind, getting my trust, and like I knew I was making the wrong choice. Anyway, so I go, I said, you're taking my shit, get it out, like, and I flipped off. I went like, flip the fuck off, and I said, all of you guys, give me my cards back right here, drop the stuff, drop it, and I went nuts, right? Three dudes, I didn't care, like, they could beat my ass up, and originally I was like, if I don't do this, yeah, it's three guys, I'm one dude, alone in my house, by myself,
yeah,
show them how to get in, show them everything,
yes.
But I didn't care. I said, no, these guys are stealing me. I'm not going to let them steal from me. So I yelled at them. I'm like, give me my card, right? And then I'm like, and they're like, yo, search me. Search me. Oh, and they're like, yeah, search my backpack. They probably put it in their underwear, put it in their fucking balls somewhere where I'm not going to search it, right?
Yeah.
So I search your backpack. There's no cards. And I go, you know what? I don't care. They took whatever they took, but I didn't even get the fuck out of my house right the hell now, because otherwise, who knows? If the longer they stay there, the more chance of something else happening.
Yeah, you're right.
So I was like, just go. Take whatever stupid cards and get the hell out of here. And I was like, I don't know. I just was. I knew that at the beginning they had tricked me.
Right.
But then when it was when I saw it in front of my face and I realized that it was
real,
actually happening, I flipped, and they were like actually scared. Like they weren't expecting me to go off. They were like, probably expecting me to just be like, oh yeah, take my cards. I don't know what they were expecting.
Right.
But they got the F out of my house.
They don't know you.
They got the F out of my house like hardcore. And I never saw them again. But for months, I was like, these guys are going to show up one day and they're going to
take
like,
all your cards.
I was worried. And I was like, worried of telling my mom, like, I showed them how to get into my house.
Right.
And they might come where we're. I was so freaked out. And so anyway, the failure was I didn't trust myself. I knew these guys were trouble. And I let a troublesome person, and person I know is bad news, come in and show me and make me think that they're actually good people when they've had a history, a track record of being in trouble, doing drugs, doing whatever, like being just bad people.
Right.
And they tricked me and I allowed that to come in. So how did I deal with it? Well, at that point I was like, I can't. It was a lesson learned. It was a lesson learned. Did you know the story?
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, I thought so. I mean, anyway, so that was my...
But it's a very good story.
Yeah. The thing is, we know when you're involved with someone that's real trouble, you know. And they're very good at twisting you and getting you. But you can tell from
what
a person's
actions.
What about
that most recent one? The one...
that one? Yeah, that's another... But you could say that one if you want.
No, you can say that because that was
so
not me.
You go.
Okay, so for me, when I think Amazon, we had this e-commerce business in Amazon for 2 years. And our oldest daughter had started in school. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start working. And to make extra income, because he was still working his 9 to 6 from home as a programmer. And we needed more money because we needed to continue to make more money. And I needed a job. So I got a job as a basically selling, going to different medical offices and talking to the doctors or the managers of the practices and selling them on this this blood panel called Allergy Pro, and it was actually a scam. I spent around 2 to 3 months of my time.
Did I convince you on that one?
You.
Do we go to the presentation together?
Rachel had sent you a message on Facebook about it, and it was, we went to go to this convention about it.
Yeah.
And we totally bought into the idea.
But you bought into it too, or was it me?
You were very much focused, like totally selling me on it, and I was willing to do whatever, because when you did all the math and the numbers, you're such a math guy. You're like, Whitney, if you just close 5 practices a day, it's going to be like...
It was millions.
Millions.
Yeah, this was...
And I got up to doing 5 practices a day and closing these practice owners or managers of practices to take on doing this Allergy Pro. And it was like so easy because... It was a prick of a finger, and they would get like 160.
It's insurance fraud, guys. This is what it was.
But I didn't know it was insurance fraud.
No, it's.
But it was too good to be true.
Could you explain like how that worked?
You can explain.
Okay, so here's the way it works. All you had to do is get a doctor to do an allergy test. It was a prick of the finger. It reminded me of that lady that has the one test, and you can test everything from a drop.
Yeah.
You know that scam thing.
Yes.
Anyway. You guys probably know what that is, but I forget. You prick your finger, you take that one drop on 5 things, and it tells you like 300 different things you're allergic to, environmental and food. But hold on, here's the trick. The customer pays nothing, the doctor pays nothing, and then you get commission. And then each test was like...
The insurance would give you the commission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it gets billed to the insurance, it has like a code. The customer then doesn't pay, but then you get this insurance. And normally that's like... legal or something like that, or not legal. It's just, you're not supposed to do
this. This was 6 years ago.
Yeah. But there was like a loophole. There was something where a hospital could do it, but it was this whole complicated thing, and you read it and it seems legit. You get people to take a test. Every single test is like $120. And these guys were pumping out the tests, and we're doing the math, and we're going to be like making a ton of money. Like, forget Amazon.
Right.
This was the deal.
Like, forget Amazon. And he's like, okay, Whitney, you focus on this Allergy Pro business, and I'll focus on Amazon. So, because I think the Allergy Pro is going to be bigger than Amazon. So I was like, okay. I mean, I was like so excited because it was like a faster way to be making millions than Amazon at that point. So I drove around with his father, Pedro, for 3 months. Closing these practices on
you guys were off on fire.
Yeah,
I mean, they would go like what it was like a 50% close rate. Like,
yes,
I mean,
yes, it was.
You'd
it was,
go to 2 practices and one of them would sign up. It was like an amazing service.
We got like 4 or 5 a day, and that's what the quota was that we gave ourselves so that we could actually make the numbers get like a lot of money. But in the end, there was like no
pay. We got paid nothing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of like probably 1,000 tests that should have been like. $100,000, I think we got paid $50 or something.
Yeah, so in the end, we found out that the company itself was being investigated by the FBI and somebody had gone to jail. Because after not getting the money on the second month, there was zero money coming in.
Yeah, so what's happening every month? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though the doctors were doing the tests, like I would check back with the doctors. And
they were getting results, the customers were fine. Everything is fine, we just wouldn't get paid.
Right. So that didn't, something was happening. And I was like, Aaron, we're not getting any money. What's going on? So on the third month, we weren't going at it so
tenaciously.
It was like we were still continuing it a little bit. But I learned that, I don't know, you have to really research the money trail because.
If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Also, it was somehow being billed through
the hospital
billing, and this apparently is very.
It's basically the hospital. If it gets billed to the hospital, someone doesn't have to pay or something, and it was like an offsite. I don't know. It was very convoluted.
So anyways, that was obviously a horrible situation, and I stopped doing that. And then I got a job as doing some customer CRM. I was like calling up customers and working in another company. And I did that for dentists. And I did that for about a month. And I was making, I think, $25 an hour. Do you remember?
It was less.
Maybe $20 an hour.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a commission. You're supposed to make some good money in commission.
Right. So, but after about a month of doing that, I was like, the business model was not did not
horrible offer.
Did not make sense. And then we were redoing the numbers on Amazon, and Aaron's like, "Gosh, why am I putting? Why is Whitney? Why are we separating our skills? Why don't you come help me on this Amazon thing? Because we're obviously going to be more effective together." So what I learned from that is that we should just work together and make whatever our goals are happen together on whatever that business venture is. And if we're going to do other lines of income, we're going to do that together as well, because people do better if you have each other's back and you work together. And you can always, if you have an idea, you let the person know, and then they're like, "Oh, that's a good idea, bad idea." You can choose to accept their critiques or not. But if that other person loves you and has compassion for you and wants you to do really well, you know they're always going to have your back. So it's a much better recipe for not failing.
Yeah. I just, as a side note for the this allergy testing.
Yeah.
I remember we saw that guy. This is like those, you go to these conventions and like everyone's on fire about it, going crazy. I saw that guy later in another convention, totally disrelated. And he's like, "Oh yeah, that other thing didn't work out, but I have this new thing now." They're always into stuff. And it was some like CBD, all these CBD stores and something in distribution and this. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, we dodged a bullet." Luckily we got in, I guess, right before the thing got busted, because I think people had been working on that for a lot longer and didn't get anything. So anyway, there's a bit of that sniff test. You have to trust your sniff test at some point.
Anyways, that's another experience of something that we tried and failed at. So we we're always trying things until we strike gold.
Yeah. So Whitney, how do you find time and energy to stay active and prioritize self-care amidst your busy schedule?
Prioritize self-care. I obviously don't do that.
Why obvious? Not obvious.
I mean, you look amazing. I'm still overweight. If I was like perfectly chiseled and like having a great body, I would be prioritizing myself very, very well. Right now, I'm not. So
I guess there's two questions. How do you have the time?
I have to say, my entire life, I've always been a very much of a producer. And even when I was a child, my mother was an alcoholic and my father was working his ass off to provide. And
For four kids.
And so I was actually taking care of all of my siblings. My mom was drunk driving when I was 4 years old and my little sister was two. And we were both in the back car and we were like literally like slamming from side to side in the back of the car. And she got taken to the jail and I was protecting my sister.
Wow.
And so I always had a sense of responsibility. And like if my mom would be drunk and I would like take her alcohol away and like throw it in the garbage and dump it out, she would like come after me. And I was at that point like 6 years old, because I kind of understood like this alcohol thing is what's making her not do anything for us or help us. So then I would like try to hide it or throw it out, and then she would like come after me with a stick, and I would like hide my sisters under the bed, and she would like try to get us out of there, and I would like stay in front of them so that she couldn't get them. Anyways, it was definitely I'm not saying that I did it all myself. My mom was there, but she was also drinking a lot. So how can you be fully present as a mom when you're drinking so much? I've always had a responsible role in my life, even as a child. And I would have to get my siblings' lunches done and all the laundry for a family of six, and try to get my sisters and my brother to help me with it. It was quite a thing. And then when I was 13 years old, I was like, "I'm done. I'm going to go, bye guys. I'm going to go do some humanitarian activities and help other people, because I've had enough of having kids at this point, and I'm willing to just go and live on my own." So I did that. And,
by the way, guys, she's saying living when I'm 13.
Yeah.
That's,
I had my own place at 13 years old.
How do you have enough energy? How do you find the energy?
I feel like I've just always been on this mode of doing, and it just happened naturally. It wasn't an option. And having enough energy, you make the energy. You decide to make the energy. You decide to not put your energy into something that's not going to give back. So if you put your energy into social media, like pictures and whatever stupid videos that are going to make you laugh. Okay, fine, that may make you laugh. But at the same time, you're going to feel a fuck of a lot better if you make a business that makes millions of dollars than watching a video that makes you laugh. Like your long-term ROI, return on investment, of putting that time and energy into something that's going to give for many years to come is much higher than watching a video that's going to give you a high for about 5 seconds. So if you look at that, even entertainment, watching movies, I'm like, it's actually kind of a waste of time. It's nice to have entertainment, but at the same time,
I sometimes get energy after watching a movie.
Okay.
It depends which one. I remember when I saw like Avatar, the Last Airbender. Not the Avatar, that like the other one.
Yeah.
I came out of there like so excited, like running down the streets doing this and wanting to work. Like, I don't know. I think that...
Everybody's different. Yeah. For me, I feel like it's a waste of time.
But you still want to do it.
Yeah, but comparison to... There was a period in my life when we first started like from nothing because we stopped doing our nonprofits 9 years ago and started from literally nothing. My dad had to co-sign with us to get an apartment. I had to get a job and he was doing other things. So
time. No, at that time. Yeah. It was like movies all day and all night.
Yeah. At that time, I was not focused on growing a business.
Yeah. Like 2 or 3 movies a day.
Yeah. Literally. I was binge watching. But there is,
and I was on.
But at the same time, I didn't have my goals figured out either.
That's true.
We hadn't sat down and done our goals. So at that point, my goal was to watch as much series as I could to catch up on the lost series that I had in my life. So literally, I think it was like 6 months every single night after work from 5 to 11 or 12 o'clock at night, watching, and not doing anything else. It was fun for a little bit.
Yeah. It worked for me because I would play games from almost the whole day. But when you were on the movie, it was easy because it was like I was supposed to. During the day, I was supposed to work and I wasn't. But then when you were home watching movies, then I would be able to play and it would be like acceptable.
Right.
So it was I wasn't complaining until we were totally broke and then wanted to have babies. You know, this thing with the baby, man, you know, okay, on the way back from Vegas. So I spoke at this Alibaba co-create event. On the way back, I was having Moe's. I went to the Moe's, you know, the burrito place.
Oh, yeah, Moe's.
And there's a guy on the counter there. And a lady, this guy's making the burritos.
Yeah.
Okay. And the lady is like, hey, so how was your night? Or you working? She asked him some question. And he was stressed out. And the guy goes, I got some news this morning I'm really not ready for. And I was like, and I said, you going to be a father? And he's like, I'm not even ready to talk about this. And I was like, damn. The kid was like 21 years old. And I said kid, but like 21 years old, you're an adult. I mean, please.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of that moment in my life.
So you think he was, that was the news?
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
no, for sure. For sure. He said it. He's like, I don't know, the baby, this. I'm way too young for this. You know, he was like, he was... And I said, listen, I talked to him. Oh. Not that he's looking for advice.
Yeah.
But.
Do you think you helped him?
I hope so.
Okay, tell me.
1% chance. And so this guy, he was saying, I said, listen, right now your life is all about you. Your life is about you. About what are you going to do? What party are you going to go to? What are you going to watch? It's all about you. And that's the state that most of us find, and it's the worst state, I think. It's the worst place a person can be because you're closing yourself in on this, whatever, 200 pounds. Not 200 pounds, I'm less than that, but like whatever square feet you got right here, 1 square foot of space that you're thinking about. And I said, listen, when my wife got pregnant, she was 6 months pregnant, I had that moment that I said, I'm not going to be a father. I am a father. I have a 6-month-old gestational baby, right? The baby is 6 months in the belly growing. That was Luna. And I'm a father already. And it hit me like a train because I said, this baby's entire life is dependent upon me. If I do a bad job and I do something, I'm setting the example for that baby. I'm providing for that baby. I'm giving them an education or not, food or not, you know, poisonous food or whatever, like garbage or not. Having them grow up, habits, all of their life is dependent on me. And I said, that's a big job. And it's too late for me to say I don't want the job. The job is mine, right? Whether you accept the job or not doesn't change the fact that that is my job. If I ignore that job, it doesn't change the fact that it's mine. And it's assigned to me and me alone. I'm the only father to this baby. And I said, my entire life started when that baby was there. So I'll tell you what, man. This is when your life changes from not being just about you and expanding. And he was like, I mean, I think he was extremely stressed out. I remember when Whitney, when I found out the first time when we thought you were pregnant, I freaked out 10 times more than that guy. I was going crazy. I was going nuts. I had like a psychotic episode of like,
no, it was a
I'm not ready for this baby.
We don't know if I was actually
pregnant. No, we don't know. It was a plan B thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, we just had an accident. Like I didn't realize there was no protection.
And the next morning.
It was so good when you were so good.
And the next morning, I was like, Aaron, you know that that happened. He's like, and then he flipped out.
No, it wasn't the next morning. It was right after.
Oh, yeah.
The aftermath.
Yeah, but it was in the middle. But the next morning.
Yeah, the next morning, we're out to the pharmacy and this.
It's like 6 a.m.
That was, I couldn't take it. See, that conversation, I don't think would have reached me then. Right. But there's layers of understanding that it's your job. Like, you're very powerful, Whitney, because you wanted a baby.
Yeah.
And I think that went down, right, because you did want a baby.
I did.
And so you're like, hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, so I was telling this guy, and the truth is it happens every day. Happens every day. People are getting something that's unexpected. Now, what's actionable? Right? Like, you can tell people, like, hey, you're going to get rich. How do you get rich? Have a baby. Well, there's plenty of people that have babies and are still broke, right? And are having trouble and are saying, I wish I didn't have this baby. And I would say the actionable piece there is take a step and realize that it is your job. It didn't happen to you. You're there. Whatever reason, whatever occurred, you have this responsibility. And think about that child and see what you want for their future. And what you have to be and what you have to do to be a representation that that person can follow.
Right.
And so I think that that's a key point. Yes, have babies. I think it's great. Having babies is part of it. But when you have a baby, or if you already have a baby or a child or an adult child, whatever, you need to know you are the most strong point in that person's entire life. So your life is not about you. That's all.
Okay.
There could be more self-care, but when you're taking care of others so much, I think you get stronger. And that is a form of self-care, taking care of other people. I don't know. That's my final say on this.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So we got a question from the audience, which is, what are your most important values? So what is a value anyway? Your values, okay? Your beliefs. Beliefs about what is right and what is wrong and what is important in life. Your values would be what you think is good, what you think is bad, and what's important in your life. Those are your values.
Okay, so what's the question?
All right, so the question is, what are your most important values? What are your strongest, most important beliefs about what is good, about what is bad, and about what's important in your life?
Gosh, I haven't really put exact attention on that specifically, but if I was to look at my life, I would say I put prioritization. And I think it's very good to help my children, be with my kids, grow the business. And I think drugs and alcohol are extremely bad. And the reason why I say alcohol as well is because of what it did to my mom when she was younger. Mm-hmm. And also, she's, thank God, handled it all, and that was...
Yeah, she's recovered.
She's fully
she's
recovered.
Amazing.
100%.
Spectacular.
She's incredible. And she helps people every single day of her life now. And giving back to the community. But I would say helping other people is very important to me because I love helping others and making other people happy. So I like serving. Being in a leadership role also is about serving others. And helping them to do better and to uplift them and help them do a better job to make them feel like they've achieved something when they have, right? So I love empowering other people as well. And I love also empowering you and helping you to achieve your goals. And that makes me happy. That's what makes me happy the most. So if you did a study of the of alcohol in the industry today, you'll see that in almost every single restaurant that you go to, the first thing they give you is the drink menu, and they ask you, okay, what would you like to drink? And this is one of the biggest profit making items in restaurants today. Also, if you listen to radio or if you see billboards, they invest money into advertising, and it's pushed everywhere, and it's like a subliminal message. And it's also come to the point where if you're not drinking at a party, it's like you're like a party pooper. And it also depends on who your friends are. I don't feel that way in my personal circle of friends, because
not recently. I think also the trend is changing. The non-alcoholic is really growing.
And I'm so happy about that, because it's also it's not good for the body. It's not like it helps you. And it gives you a false high. And that false high, you can actually generate that naturally by doing amazing work and feeling a sense of accomplishment. You're going to have a more huge high that lasts a lot longer than having a drink for literally however long it takes you to drink that drink. And then afterwards, 30 minutes, an hour. It depends on how much alcohol you're drinking, obviously. And then the after effects, you feel like shit. The next morning, you feel like something fucking hit you. Obviously, that's not a good thing for the body. If it was good, there would be no after effect. I would say the same about sugar, honestly, but I haven't really decided to fully confront that subject yet. Obviously, I mean,
very different.
No, but it is. Sugar is an addiction.
Yes, but
I have an addiction to sugar.
Yeah,
have not fucking handled it.
I know,
yet.
But listen, movies is an addiction too, right? There's so many things that are
addiction. Yes, but masturbation, it is true.
Whatever, like there's so many things that people do that they're addicted to. It doesn't mean, listen, if you're at home and you masturbate,
I believe that anything that you have that's an addiction shouldn't, like, I don't feel like you should have something that governs how you feel. I feel like I should be the boss. I should be like, I'm going to eat what's good for me. I'm going to feed you like a dog. And then instead of deciding, oh, it looks good. Oh yeah, I should have that for that sensation.
Well, here's the thing. All addictions are not the same. You'd be addicted to your work. You'd be addicted to a cause. You'd be addicted to, I don't know.
And that's true. That's true. Not all addictions are bad.
So, and here's the thing, like alcohol, you could drink and then you could drive and you'll kill a family.
Yes.
You could eat sugar. You can have 20 Kit Kats a day if you felt like it. No one's going to die. All these murder, a lot of these things occur when people are on some sort of drug.
Right.
No one like downs an ice cream and they're like, I'm going to go murder. Like, hey, it doesn't happen.
Thank you. Aaron, you're right. You're right. You're totally right.
Yeah. Very different.
I appreciate that you fully elaborated on that, because you're fucking right.
Good.
Yes. Good. Definitely, they're not in the same category.
At all.
Whatsoever.
Correct.
It's just my personal addiction that I'm just letting everybody know about happily.
Good to know. Good to know. Anyway, so back to the alcohol piece. I mean, I forgot even the values. You know what? I'll tell you the value. One of my values is, you always need to deliver and give more than you take, always. That's how you find success. Not just success in business, but success in life, right? If my mom, well, I mean, this is, it's impossible ever to get there, because my mom brought me to this world. So how can I repay her? I don't think that's necessarily possible, okay? But to do my best to try to give back to her, to make her feel so happy about what she did, and repay more than expected, right? And that works in relationships, right? If you have a friend, you have somebody, and they help you in certain ways, well, how could you do more for that person than they even do for you? What is it that you can solve for them? How could you make them smile that day? What is it that you can make the best birthday ever, the best blah, I don't know, but do something special for that person, for the kids, right? We're going to do singing class today. I love singing with the kids. They really love it.
Specifically, Violet loves it.
Yeah. Luna's starting to love it too, by the way.
Good.
She's really into it. And how do we make that, how do we elevate all this and give more than you get? Because the world is only bad, I believe the entire society, the only reason it declines is because there are people who take more than they give, right? So for example, and that goes back to let's call it some drugs, right? Cocaine, right? The person who sells cocaine, you can sell kilo, whatever, I don't even know the price of this stuff, but like, I don't know, let's just say it's, I don't know, $500, $300, $1,000, $100, I don't even know. Let's just say it's $1,000. It's $1,000. They take $1,000 from somebody. They have, hey, you've helped me, you've paid me, you covered my blah, my house, my blah, whatever, the kids, I'm sure, whatever. But then what do you give to that person? You give them something that is literally not only going to cause them to steal from their family, potentially, steal from their friends, have a false high that's going to make them stop and not look at and solve the actual problems. Generally, people go to drugs because, hey, they have a dysfunctional relationship with their parents. They have a dysfunctional relationship with their kids. They had a fight at work and they go, oh my gosh, I'm going to go smoke this thing, or I'm going to go snort whatever. So you're ignoring the actual problem. And this drug dealer got paid. They were helped by this person. And they're giving them something that's going to make their life a living hell. Not only that, give them an addiction, but also erectile dysfunction. Cocaine causes erectile dysfunction. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, anybody who's considering, or, you know, you'd say you're smoking into whatever, and you're, like, considering, you know, going to the next step to go to the blow. Because blow is actually, it's very, I don't know about very, but it's not uncommon. I mean, it's, like, I'm sure somebody who's listening to this is on it. So, did anybody tell you, before you started taking the blow, that it will cause you erectile dysfunction? If people had informed consent, hey, by the way, before you take this sniff, in about, I don't know, 3 months, 2 years, sometime, you will not be able to have erections. I don't know. Like, people will not do that. So when something in some sales is based on deceit, you're lying to them. This is going to make you feel good. It's going to solve your problems. It's going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And you're not telling them the side effects. You're not telling them, hey, this guy just shot himself. He shot up this thing. Whatever. That's a bad interchange. You're giving them something that's hurting them, and then you're receiving money. If every person shifted it and said, I have to deliver more than I'm getting, always, and that happened around the globe, the entire world would be climbing, period. I would say this is the most important value because it covers so many things. It covers behavior, it covers business, it covers whatever. Give out and deliver more than you receive, and your life is going to basically work out. And again, I know, like, this whole thing is Amazon e-commerce. Like, are you just giving products to people that are going to break? We've had it. And say, okay, good. We have to discontinue. We have to do, like, you fix it, because those are bad experiences if that ever does occur, right? We're going to a brand new category we've never been into. We have one item and it sucks. It sucks. You're,
and
like,
it has a lot of problems.
Then it's like, okay, good. So we need to change it. We can't continue selling it at a premium price. Okay, let's liquidate it out and be done. And then, anyway, these things will make or break your entire life. Right. Are you giving more? Or are you getting more? And that's why welfare and these things do not work. And that's why John F. Kennedy saying, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Why? Why is that important? Because nobody wants to be in a welfare. You get a bunch of money from the government and you do nothing. You know you have very little value. And unless you're taking that and promising you're going to change everything, and in a month's time, 2 months' time, you change everything and you never take another check again, that's another scenario. If you stay on it, you know that your worth is negative and less. And that's, we can't stand for that. That's one, I would say that's like one of my top values, if not like the top, which I need to look at that more always. Like, that's always something that you can always work on more. Like, is there a scenario that's, anyway, there you go.
Good.
Well, even more personal, you know, like a foot massage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, before going to bed.
Yeah,
like,
you gave me a foot massage and I don't give you one.
No, that's okay. I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? Because I know you love the foot massage. And I just go, you know what? It's going to be an amazing thing to do. Is just do, like, an amazing, just really intense, like, very good foot massage. And if it's going to make her happy, that's something I should be doing. I don't need to get asked. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that nice?
It's so nice.
So, anyway.
5 minutes, and then I'm sleeping. And then you go downstairs. Otherwise, you have to go to bed earlier, and you have to go to sleep with me.
We do sleep together, guys. This is, I'll just sometimes go to my computer afterwards. So, anyway, okay, good.
He likes to work a lot, obviously.
Well, you know what another belief is that I'll talk about here? is you don't just have one body and it's going to be gone and then you're everything's over.
Right.
And that's important because if you don't think there's any consequences to your actions, like let's say if you're just his body, the body's gone and you're done, it doesn't matter what you do. Some guy can go off and shoot off a school. He'll never have any consequences. Not karma, reincarnation, heaven or hell. There's no belief about something that you will carry on.
Right.
You could just be a dickhead. So I personally believe that we will continue on. Right, this body is it's a physical form, but we will continue on as beings, as spirits, and you have your history tied with you. So what you do in this life will help you in the future, wherever, whatever happens to you. That thing, that belief alone is so vital, because for example, you have somebody and they might be on some medications or something, and some of these medications
maybe
they cause suicide
fire,
thoughts.
Maybe they'll set fire to an entire forest.
Yeah. Yeah, just,
like,
you know.
Like Maui.
Yeah. So something can happen. You can do destructive things and be like, okay, fine. After this body's gone, it's all over. You don't have to answer for what you've done. And I think that goes a little bit back to the first one, but the consequences will carry on further than this life.
Right.
Both good and bad.
For sure.
And if you believe that, and any belief, any religion, any thought process that believes that you will continue on further and in some way have to live up to what you've done this life, it, trust, this is true. This happens.
We're either contributing to a better society or a worse society.
Yes. And for yourself.
Yes.
For your own future.
For sure.
Anyway, so that's part of my values.
And we're contributing to whether or not we are going to have a future or not have a future. Those depend on every single person's individual actions.
Yep. So anyway, that was great. Great chat. It was a good talk. And if you have questions, right, you want us to talk about some topics, like just message them in. We do have these papers and they do come into us. So ask questions. We'll answer them in the next episode. Oh, by the way, please, if this has been helpful for you, go ahead and leave a review. Because if you could reach out to somebody, your review can have someone else listen and that person can have their life changed.
Where do you review?
Apple Podcast is probably the top one, but any other podcast place, they have reviews.
Oh.
And it takes 30 seconds, maybe 15 seconds. You pull up the podcast, you go to the show name, you put the star, you put a sentence or two,
okay.
Boom, you change somebody's life potentially just by leaving a review. So we'll really appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, bye. Peace.